chapter 16 of Luke's Gospel, and I'm just reading part of verse 5. How much owest thou to my Lord? Chapter 7, same Gospel. Chapter 7 and verse 40, Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he says, Teacher, say it. There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. As they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. It's a very potent question that is asked in the 16th chapter of Luke. And it's one that we could take to heart, every one of us, tonight. Whether we're young or whether we're old. How much dost thou owe, my Lord? Can you have any idea of how much you owe to Christ? He's talking about debt. Talking about sins. The unjust steward was talking about actual quantities of things. But in the gospel tonight, we're talking about sins. That's what we're talking about. How much dost thou owe, my Lord? How much do you owe? Martin Luther had a dream. You know, and he dreamt that all his sins, all of them, were written up on a wall. And the devil said to him, look at those. Sin after sin after sin. Thousand upon thousand. How many sins have you committed? Now the gospel is for those who are lost. I've not come to call righteous men, the Lord Jesus said. I haven't come to call righteous men, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. You know, sin is an unfashionable word. But sin is a biblical word, sins and sinner. We don't call things by their proper name in the world in which we live. Immorality is called your partner. And sin is adultery and fornication and not named. Lies and blasphemy, not spoken about. A white lie. We don't call things by what they are. Tonight, you know, God sees the world. The eyes of Jehovah run to and fro, it says in the Word. Throughout the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. Notice that, beholding the evil first. God doesn't pass sin by. You know that, friend. You might not have a very severe judgment of yourself as a sinner. Might think you're a little sinner like Simon did. I suppose Simon thought of himself as the 50 pence debtor. Scripture isn't clear about that. We assume it from the chapter. Because the Lord addressed Simon. So he knew what he was thinking. If you read Luke 7 very carefully, you'll find that Simon hadn't said a single word. He only thought it within his heart. I don't know what you're thinking in your heart tonight. Perhaps you think, I don't need Christ. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need a saviour. When it comes to the end of the road, I shall escape. The apostle said, how shall we escape if we are negligent of so great salvation? It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let us just understand that. That at the end of our road, we're going to have to do with God. Whenever the end of your life is, or the end of your road, there's going to come a day when you and I are going to have to do with God. And the sooner we have to do with God, the happier our lives will be. And if you put it off forever, if you refuse to face the issue of your sins forever, you'll think about them for all eternity in the lake of fire. And that's the truth. The world doesn't like to think about hell. It doesn't exist. You'll find certain religious people talk about the ultimate restitution of all souls. And that's a denial of the righteousness of God. How could God be righteous and deal with sins and forgive the sinner? That's a great problem which is only and can only be solved by the cross of Christ. How God can deal with the sins and let the sinner go free. He's got to be seen before the eyes of the whole universe that he deals with sins in absolute righteousness. It's the wonder of the cross of Christ. How God can save, yet righteous be. God can't pass sin by. Eyes are too holy to look upon sin. I'll never be sin in God's presence eternally. If you go into death with your sins, you will not be in God's presence ever. If you die in your sins, you'll be raised in your sins. The gospel's very clear. It's a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of wonderful mercy. It's a gospel of love. But friend, it's essential. You face the unvarnished truth, as I have to face it, that I am a sinner. And I deserve God's judgment. And I merit hell as my portion forever. How much dost thou owe my Lord? How much? You stop and think about that. You say, I'm only young. I've hardly sinned. You can see sin in the newborn baby. When sin was conceived, I was conceived, the psalmist says. Conceived in sin. Will and mind of man. Sins. You know, I was thinking, I wonder if the conviction of sinnership has ever come home to you, that you're a sinner and you've got no hope and you've got no claim on God. Amazing thing, you know. What it is to be lost, lost. You'll never know the joy of being found by Jesus unless you know what it is to be lost. Lost. Silver piece in the house was lost. It wasn't lost to all eternity. That's not the bearing of the parable. But it was lost in circulation. It was lost to the master. It was no longer in the use, for the use of him who owned it. The silver piece could be like a saint, you know, out of circulation. Not available to the master's use. Don't want to go into that. I want to bear home in my own conscience tonight the debt that I owe to God. How much owest thou, my Lord? Just think about it. I can't answer for you, friend. I love the gospel in Luke 7. You know, how the heart of the Saviour brought out the heart of the eternal God. That poor man was Simon. I suppose he was righteous. Maybe he told Luke this parable himself. It's very probable. Luke was not in the company of the Lord here in manhood. Luke was a Gentile. He was accurately acquainted from the origin with all things. There were many who set out to write gospels in the early days, shortly after the death and resurrection of the Lord. Scripture tells us that. Luke's gospel stands alone in its preciousness. The love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Luke's gospel. The love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How wonderful. Maybe Luke, he went round, didn't he, finding out about what the Lord had said and where he'd been, and he spoke to souls that had been forgiven. How wonderful, you know, to follow in the footsteps of the Master. Speak to souls that had received his touch. Wonderful to be touched by Jesus. If your heart is touched by Jesus tonight, you'll never forget it. He touched me, the hymn writer says. He touched me. Wonderful when he touches you. Touched this woman, didn't he? without saying anything to her. Her heart met the heart of Jesus, and she was forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? She didn't say anything. She came to him. Came as she was. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. She filled it out. She came. She faced the Pharisees' house. She faced the hatred. She faced the sneers to come to Jesus. And you know, friend, you'll find them all. As you go through life, you'll find them all. They'll sneer at you. They'll deride you. But in your heart, you'll have peace with God, because you've met the Saviour and you've got eternal peace and eternal forgiveness. Wonderful. Here he is there, the Saviour lying there, placed himself within the touch of a sinner. Marvellous, wonderful grace. Tonight, friend, he's within your grasp. I marvel at the grace that brings Jesus within my grasp. Why should he choose me? Why should he come tonight to bless you? Why should he be available to you as a sinner? He could be available to millions. You might have been brought up in the Islam countries, never able to hear the gospel. You might have been in China. Where might you have been? But tonight, God in his wonderful grace places the Saviour within your grasp for you to receive as your personal Lord and Saviour. Why should he do it? The love of God is boundless, and it's perfect. It's causeless. I can't explain it. I can't explain the love of God, friend. I can only tell you that God loves you, and he loves you so much. But he wants to bless your soul tonight forever. Wonderful. Jesus is there, you say. Takes his place at table. Oh, the beauty of that woman as she came to him, bestowed upon him the honours that Pharisee refused to do. Didn't even credit him as being anybody worth washing his feet. The normal courtesy of the East. He didn't wash his feet. Perhaps you don't wash anybody's feet. You won't get right with your brother. You'll let it go. Didn't even wash his feet. The woman comes in and washes his feet. She says, you know, can't you see these feet, the beautiful, bringing glad tidings of peace? Feet that have come from glory. Feet that have come down to where I am. Feet that are going to walk to Calvary's cross and bear my sins. He's going to carry my sins to Calvary. And he's going to have those feet nailed and those hands nailed so that he can't move in blessing and mercy any longer. And even in that position, he'll bless a malefactor by his side. Grace places the sinner within the reach of the Saviour. Wonderful. I can never understand it, friend. Grace places Jesus just where you are. Just where you are. You trace his pathway. You think of the wonderful grace of God that brought that centurion, took him out of Rome and brought him over to Israel. And on the day of the Passover, gave him the job to crucify the Lord of glory. I can't understand it. And that man who was in charge of the crucifixion saw that Jesus was put to death, and he saw that he was dead. And as he stood by the cross and the sun was gone and there was darkness over the scene, he said, truly this man was Son of God. Wonderful grace, he said. Why should God pick out a centurion and let him maltreat his beloved son and then bless his soul for all eternity? I don't understand mercy. I can't explain it. But that is the mercy of our God. Why should he bless you? Why should he forgive you? Because that's his heart. What a parable. There were two creditors, two debtors of a certain creditor. I suppose there are millions of debtors of a certain creditor. How much do you owe? And you know, as they had nothing to pay, it wasn't anything we'd got. We got nothing. As they had nothing to pay. It was the reason for his love. It was the reason for his forgiveness. Our poverty, our destitution, our lost estate, our sins were the reason for God's forgiveness. As they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Friend, tonight, forgiveness is preached in the gospel. Forgiveness of sins is preached beginning at Jerusalem. That's what's preached. Forgiveness. Think of the debt. That mighty debt. Who could discharge it? Who could discharge the debt that you and I had run up against the eternal God? It could only be met one way. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As no other way of meeting God's righteous claims and the needs and the sins of the sinner. The blood of Jesus. Peter said, you know, that the Jew hadn't been redeemed by corruptible things such as silver or gold. Just think, you know, these Swiss people have started digging out the treasures of the Jew, haven't they? It baffles the mind. Begun to dig them out. Pressure, public pressure, has made them release details of some of the things that the Jews have had. They're valuable. Do you know, in the Six-Day War, some years ago, the Jewish nation put out an appeal for jet aeroplanes for fighting, when they were fighting the Egyptians, fighting on two fronts, the Syrians on the north on the Golan Heights and the Egyptians on the southern flank. And they put out an appeal for jet aircraft, fighter aircraft. And within 3 days, the New York Jews produced 40 planes. 3 days. Don't you ever underestimate what Jews possess. And Peter says, you've not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold. I suppose the Jew is the best man in the world who could find finance or whatever for redemption. And it wouldn't do any good at all. You've been redeemed by precious blood, as of a lamb, without spot, without blemish. One will say to them, you marvel at it. There was only one man who could pay that debt. The only man who could pay the debt for your sins came himself. Nobody sent him. He came himself. And he wended his way all the way to Calvary. And in the darkness of Calvary, he atoned for your sins himself and shed his blood so that God could see that precious blood and pass over you. God was absolutely righteous in passing the sinner by. Because Jesus paid the price. He paid the debt he didn't owe for those who owed a debt they couldn't pay. You know, years ago, there's a story told, isn't there, about a man who worked for an officer in the army of Prussia, King of Prussia, Frederick. And he ran up debts galore, excuse the expression. He ran up countless debts. And one night he said, I'm going to finish myself at 5 o'clock in the morning. Added his debts up, and at the end he wrote on the page, who can pay these? And he put his gun on the table and his misery went to sleep. And during the night, Frederick himself went round and found the light on. And he went into the room where this young man was sitting, sleeping. And underneath he wrote, Frederick, King of Prussia, will. Who can pay these debts? And he wrote, Frederick, King of Prussia, will. Friend, I tell you tonight that Jesus has already paid your debt. Not only your present sins, not only your past sins, but your future sins. All our sins have been met for the believer by Jesus himself. The prophet in Isaiah says, he will come himself and save you. He will come himself and save you. He has done the work himself. You think of the wonder of that, that Christ has done the work. When he sits as judge on the great white throne, he will never judge a sinner
who has trusted in the work that he did at Calvary can never be. He will never condemn a sinner who has believed in him and trusted him for the work he did at Calvary alone. It's morally impossible. Your heart, friend, can be absolutely certain of peace and forgiveness tonight if you repent, acknowledge you're a sinner, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really all I've got to say. As they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. What heart you have. Heart of God is love. He'll forgive any sinner that trusts in Jesus. That's what God will do tonight. And forgive you absolutely, unequivocally, and forever. May you just trust Jesus, you know. We buried a girl, just over a week ago. When she was 13, I'll tell you a story about her. Her father and mother gave her a new bicycle. And her mother said to her, Margaret, you must never ride that bike on a main road. You can ride it on the side roads. You must not ride it on the main road. Within hours, she was on the main road out of Birmingham. And a lorry ran over her. The back wheels went across her body. And for weeks, she lay in hospital between life and death. When she came to, she gave her life to Jesus. He saved her life and she gave it back to him. You're never too young, friend, to give your life to Jesus. I remember the night when my little daughter came into her room and she said, Daddy, I've given my life to Jesus. That's all it needs. Simple bond of faith. When the soul meets the Saviour, receives forgiveness and peace and blessing and the assurance of a love that will never fail to all eternity. It's as simple as that. As they had nothing to pay, he freely forgave them both. He'll forgive you, friend. There's no question. But you've got to come and just simply accept him and he'll bless you forever. May you do so, for his name's sake.